Welcome to the Hype Leadership Podcast. David and Lindsay Curry are dynamic entrepreneurs focused in high-performance leadership and coaching in sales and service. Through the Hype Leadership Podcast, David and Lindsay strive to serve in your journey towards a high-performance life. And now, here are your hosts, David and Lindsay Curry.
Welcome to Hype Leadership Podcast. My name is Lindsay Curry, and this is my co-host, David Curry. We are excited for this episode today. This is the episode of the year-end review, but before we jump in, I want to start us off, as we always do, with a quote. And the quote comes from Warren Buffett. "The difference between successful people and really successful people is that really successful people say no to almost everything." Wow. David, yeah. Tell me about this quote. I mean, it comes from, I know you had sent it over, so tell me.
Let's put some context around that, because I think you can take that a lot of different ways. I'm sure as a parent, as we are, and maybe other parents out there, saying no to your child seems to be the more common answer to anything that's asked for, or at least what you want to say. But we're talking today, more importantly to me, what I've thought as we get into this year in review and we're really starting to reflect where we've been 2025, where we're going 2026, you get asked a lot to do a lot. You know, when you become somebody, I remember somebody once said, if you want to get something done, ask the guy that's always doing something. Ask the guy that's the busiest. Ask the guy that's the most successful. So the more successful that you get, the more that people are going to come to you to help them or to ask you to do something for them. And as you know, as a successful business person, and really, I mean, modern day time, just think about it. How much free time do you have, right? Now, you can answer the question on your own time. Am I spending my time the way that I should? You know, that's a whole nother podcast. But today we're just thinking about when some of these small tasks or some of these things that may not be aligned with your goals, may not be aligned with your priorities, but maybe they fit into somebody or maybe it makes you feel good. You know, you just don't have that much. You don't have the bandwidth to do everything. Right. I mean, that's why, you know, as we look for something to kind of wrap up around the show today, I love that. And I mean, Warren Buffett, I don't have the stats. I don't have the demos on who he is and what number he is on the richest, most successful person in the world today. But we all know. And if you're listening to this show, I know, you know, who Warren Buffett is. And that's coming straight from him. The difference in successful people and really successful people are that the really successful say no.
Well, and I think, you know, I was listening to a podcast by John Maxwell, and he made this correlation, and I think this ties in really well. He talked about the difference between good coaches and great coaches is what they do at halftime. Right? What are they saying no to in changing and pivoting to get the end result that they're looking for? And that just clicked. That just clicked because, you know, what are those small things that we need to say no to in order to get us to the end goal? Whether that be personally, professionally, spiritually, what are those things that we need to say no to get that end result that we're looking for? So I'm very, very much excited about jumping into these questions. I know these are some questions that I had actually personally done myself last year. I apologize. I sound this way. As Glenn, the president of our company, always says, the Kentucky crud. I believe that I have the Kentucky crud. We were actually gone during the Thanksgiving holiday down to the most magical place in the world, Disney, with the kids, and I probably have Disneyed out. And
you talk about me being around all them kids. Being around the kids, make you sick. I'll be dang. Now that we got so much work to do to wrap up this year. I want to bring us back just a real quick thing to say, because I want to, again, put some context behind this. Because as you look at it, there's reasons why we struggle to say no. And I love what you said about John, because coming off of a UofL number 16 basketball team in the country, taking the L last night, taking the loss, we lost the game in the first half. We did change in the second half. We won the second half, but we had blown ourselves out of the game. But like you say, there may be a pride thing. You know, there may be an ego that gets in the way that says, you know, I went into the game thinking this was my plan and this was going to get us the win. And now we turn around and we look and we're 16, 17, 20 points down, or we're not where we want to be 6 months into the year. Are you too prideful to say no, make a change? My game plan did not work. We've got to reevaluate, adjust, adapt, and then go execute. That's a great thing. But here are some of the things, if you look as to why people struggle: conditioning, social conditioning, wanting to be liked, right? When your friend comes and asks you if you want to, if you could help him. Just with this community project this weekend. Like, hey, I got this project that needs Friday, Saturday commitment from you. It would be great. We're giving back to the community. Is that serving your priority? It doesn't mean saying no does not always mean that you're saying no to something bad. You know, a lot of times these things, but it feels good and you want to be liked. So it's not easy to say, no, I don't have time. I cannot do that. That is not my priority. I love you. I love that community. I love that organization, but It's not going to fit into my boat. Fear of missing out. What about that? FOMO, you know? Oh, man, and everybody else is going to do this. I want to. Is that going to serve your target? Is that going to serve your goal for the end of the year? I think that's a great one. Productivity paradox of being busy doesn't equal being effective. Just because you're doing something all the time doesn't mean that you're doing something and moving towards your goal. I like how John says, all change is not good. Just because we've changed doesn't mean it's great. And then the emotional, you know, right? Again, it's most of this people driven. You get caught up in your feelings. So that's what we want to, and that's what I think this reflection at the end of our year puts down. It gets us out of our feels, right? Because the feeling of guilt, right? Man, I feel bad. Man, I should help that person. I should commit to that. I should be able to do that. That would be easy for me to do. But does it serve you? So get out of the feeling and look at the fact. And I think that's what these year-end reviews really help you do, put down some of the facts as to where we've been and the facts as to where we want to go.
Well, and something that John, because these questions, these year-end reflection questions do come from John Maxwell. Again, David and I had done them last year, and they're so impactful because he really encourages you to sit down, look at your calendar, like go back from January of 2025 and look at the whole year. And really reflect on, hey, what was taking my time and what should I eliminate? Because those, look, sometimes people, I know myself personally, you forget what you've done just last week. Hey, how was Disney? Oh, I've already forgot. I mean, we were there less than 7 days ago and I've already forgotten.
Yeah.
Right. So the calendar, when you use your calendar and put things in there, it allows you to reflect back and say, okay, I've spent too much time on this. Hey, I've really gained traction on that. I need to double down on this. So let's dive into some of these questions, David, and kind of take a look at them. So his number one is that you should ask yourself is, what made me proud? Right? What are some of the accomplishments that you had in 2025? What are some things that you achieved or maximized on? In thinking about that, you know, one of the things that I know we had set out to do was have a Social Security seminar. That was one of our goals that we really wanted to implement, and really branching out to this other avenue is the retirement planning space, and really kind of open up that branch for our agency. So they are able to help our clients more. And that's something that we set out to do in January, and it's still a work in progress, but there is progress that has been made.
Oh, is it a work in progress? yeah, that's for sure. That's cool that you said that, you know, because we didn't really collaborate on the responses that we would give to these questions, but it's great because we do run our businesses together, that we are aligned. I said the same thing. What made me proud, number one was probably, yes, that seminar. You know, the seminar was, we've had several podcasts that spoke to that seminar. What we did was Social Security education, what that was, but more importantly, what that was like to take on, the mountain that it was like to take on, and saying yes to that, because I think for a year or two, we had thought about it. We had thought about it. You know, it may have been in the vision. It may have been something we knew was a next step to moving the business forward. But, you know, again, you've got to make a step into your uncomfortable zone, get out of the comfort zone to start expanding what you're capable of doing. So that was definitely why I was, I would say, most proud, along with a short list of a few other things that would come to mind from this year, but most proud certainly of that. Number two, when you look, so we start with the great, right? You start with what was great, what we enjoyed the most, what was fulfilling. And then you look at what did we learn? Sometimes you win, sometimes you learn, right? So the second question, what did we learn this year? Lindsay, I don't know if you had one top of mind for yourself.
I did actually have one top of mind. And actually, it come upon me this morning is, you know, one thing that I learned, and it's something that I've talked about prior on prior episodes, is that Start Today journal that we had gone to that conference with Rachel Hollis. Actually, we were cleaning out some stuff this weekend, and my 4-year-old had pulled out this journal that I would write, and it's like five items that you're grateful for, and then your 10 goals. And they could be today, they could be 10 years from now. And something that I learned was, you know, like one of the goals on there was a podcast. And that was written back in 2021. And, you know, throughout the years, I've done them. It's kind of like a rhythm. I would do them and then fall out of rhythm and get back into rhythm. And, you know, that just made me think, like, you know, how important it is, one, to have gratitude, because when you have gratitude, your attitude is much better. All right. Number one. But number two is, you know, when you look back, I mean, David, I know we were cleaning out the basement the other day or a month ago, when you're looking back at some of these old notes from 2017 and 2019, when our season of life was much different than it is today, it's funny to look at your goals. And, you know, when you write them every day, it's you kind of forget, you do forget in a sense when you're 6-7 years down the road, it's like, oh my gosh, I have accomplished something, right? Because we're inundated like, hey, I want this next goal. I want this next goal. I'm working towards this. And it's nice to take a moment and reflect like, well, gosh, I have accomplished something, right? So I don't know. That was something that spoke to me is, you know, really getting back into that practice, because for one, that sets out, I write goals down pretty much every day, a to-do list or monthly, but really being consistent and writing those down, because I do like to look back on those things, and because it's a sense of accomplishment.
Yeah, 100%. You lost me at 6-7. Lost to it. I mean, I completely
just blanked
out. That was it. Yeah. Sorry. 100%. What did I learn? It's everything. And you know, I'll just give a quick thing to me, because, you know, we went through an exercise with a group that we got to have dinner with, a team that we lead here in town, a lot of young leaders, a lot of, troubles that they're experiencing right now that we've been through, done that, got the t-shirt 10 years ago about, you know, and it's funny to go back. And one of the exercises we did to kick off this meeting was, give me a number, 1 through 10, where you're at on the pace or the momentum of your business, the feeling, the number inside, 10 being you're on fire, 1 being like you're stuck in the mud or maybe drowning. And I said, you know, my numbers, I'm at an 8. And we get done. Everybody went through their spiel on why they were where they were. And we jumped in the car at the end of the night. And Lindsay said, you know, I'm surprised you were at an 8. Or surprised. I'm like, yeah, you expect a 10 or, you know, what? But she said, I said, why? What's the matter? What's up? She said, well, I live with you. Like, I would have never thought you felt that good about where we're going. Which says a lot for me at home, right? Can't take it all everywhere you go. But I would say, as I think about this right now, Lindsay hit on it a little bit, and it's something that I used to do for religiously. And this is the point of reflection. This is the point sometimes of taking a step back. This is why they say that it is so vitally important, even though it doesn't pay you right now, for you to take time to think. There's nothing more valuable to you and your business and your direction and your speed than sitting down, taking time, and just thinking, right? Because I love how it's been said, you can't just build a house without the plan. You got to have the plan, right? You don't just throw things together and now you've got this beautiful, beautiful thing. So when I thought about that, I've religiously lived off of to-do list forever. I've had people tell stories about, man, David changed my life when he said, why do you have all this stuff going on in your head? Why don't you put that down on paper and get it out of your brain so you can move forward in a different way? I have taught people how to write to-do lists out, but I wasn't doing it. I was not doing it. And that is the problem with getting caught up in the pace and maybe not saying no to enough. To the point that something that I've lived off of and has driven me everywhere I've gone, from this career path to the one that I was spent half of my life in before, I wasn't doing anymore. And as I think about this right now, and I think about why I probably felt like I was an 8 that night, had a lot to do with me getting everything that's in my head out of it on paper. To sit down and tactically work through. And I know not everybody does that, right? Not everybody's going to tactically work through things. You may write it on a list and then you can't find the list. I know some people like that. You know, it's okay. But just get back to what you know works for you. You know what I mean? Like, and that never would have happened if I didn't spend some time thinking and knowing where I needed to go forward. And that is why this part of the process is so important. You know, this is something that we should do. It comes up here at the end of the year all the time. Everybody talks about it. It gets cliche. The gyms get full in January. I would challenge you to think about doing this on a quarterly basis, on a monthly basis. People teach to do it on a weekly basis, to do it on a daily basis. This can get way too redundant, but you got to do it one way or the other. And one of those things that you come back to, Lindsay, that's number 3 on the list we talk about today, is the what bottlenecked me. So this year, right? Like I would say, you know, what should I do less of? What should I do more of? What should I keep my focus and energy the same? You know, of these things I commit to, what should I eliminate? What should I double down on? And what should I make sure I keep doing, right? I need to make sure I get that to-do list done. I need to at least on a weekly basis have that list of what I'm working on, what three things daily, if you're really good. But bottleneck, that not me not doing that has certainly slowed down our progress this year. Bottleneck you, anything that you would have jumping out?
Yes. Well, one of the things, I was part of a committee, and, you know, it wasn't super bogged down, but as I'm evaluating my time spent and my energy spent and time away, that, you know, I evaluated that the value, there is value there, but at this season of my life, and some things that I know we as parents and as business owners are looking to move towards, I had to say no, and I had to step down. And so, and I've honestly, personally, I've been thinking about that for a while, and I prayed about it, and I just, you know, I really needed, I needed some clarity on it. And so, you know, because look, everybody throws things at you. Hey, do you want to be a part of this or part of that, or, you know, part of the PTA or this committee or that committee or whatever committee it is. And as you say, we say yes, because it's like, oh, I want to do the right thing. I want to be a part. And I was a part. And at this point, you know, I had to say no, because there's some other things that need more attention and focus. And so that is what I felt kind of bottleneck and kind of hindered some of the growth. Because you don't, in reality, we only have so much time, right? We only have so many hours in a day. And to be realistic about what it is that you, as the individual, knowing yourself, knowing what hours do you work the best? Is it the early morning? Is it late in the evening? What hours work best for you, for your schedule? And really pinpointing those things. But that takes time, and you've got to evaluate and reflect on those things. Like you were saying, like, hey, you just need a minute in silence without, you know, emails, phone, screaming kids, whatever it is, to reflect on, hey, there are some things that aren't serving me that I need to remove in order to move forward.
Yeah, 100%. You lost me again. PTA, P2R. I'm thinking, man, Lindsay, what a great example of something good that leadership, the board that you were a part of, great example of saying no to something that is a great, great thing, a leadership position, and people are looking at you. But me, on the other hand, the marketing board of the school that I was asked to be on, shoo, was a ridiculously dumb thing to say yes to.
When you said yes, but
so, yeah, no, just, again, yeah, you gotta have priorities aligned. And then I think once you do that, right, once you know where you want to go, I wanted to ask you, this is on the spot question for you. How did it feel when you announced or when you released that responsibility that was weighing you down?
Immediately pressure was released. Immediate.
Yeah. So what's that called? Addition by subtraction, right? That is what we mean when we saying no. Warren Buffett, the really successful, say no to everything. Addition by subtraction. The less I have to focus on, the more hyper focus I get to have on what I know is going to serve me, what I know is going to multiply me, what I know is going to make the most impact. So the hard question, though, The hard question is this next one, number four for today. Are you willing to pay the price again this year? Right. We kind of know this because we're commission-based sales, right? We live the life of you wake up every day broke. You wake up every, you show up to work every Monday without a paycheck. So we know what it's like to pay the price. But what a great question to ask yourself as you're looking to realign towards next year's usually big goals.
Correct. And, you know, everything, a quote from John is everything worthwhile in life is uphill all the way. And that's so true, because if you think about it, it's, you know, he really talks a lot about as you grow as a leader. And I've thought this personally, like David 15 or 10, 12 years ago, oh, it's going to get so much easier. It's going to get so much easier. Yeah. It doesn't get any easier. It's preparing you for the harder. It's preparing you for the harder. There's facets of it that aren't as challenging, but then there's others that are way more challenging than what it was when I was knocking on doors. So, you know, but I believe as you do trade-offs, right? But it's also preparing you for what's to come. Like the adversities and the challenges that the individuals that are listening right now that you're going through, they are preparing you for something much harder that's on down the road.
You're right.
So it is. And I remember, this is funny actually, because some of my girlfriends, I dance competitively on the Lady Birds, University of Louisville. And, you know, if I can do that, I can do anything. That used to be our mantra in our mind, because one of the first years, I mean, the grueling practices of 3-a-day during spring break when everybody else is out having a good time and we're at the gym, you know, 3 hours, really 9 hours throughout the day. Those were character building days. I'll just say that a lot of character was built during those time. But it prepares you for harder things. And so for that, I'm grateful. I was not grateful in that moment, I'll be honest with you. But for that, I'm grateful. So.
Yeah, I still fall victim to that. I still, and I mean, it's been this year. It's been this year that, you know, what they say, I'm going to pay now so I can play later. And it really, like you said, you're only doing the hard so you're ready for the harder. And most people that are willing to step up to the challenge of doing the hard, guess what? When it gets easy and there's nothing to do, you fall into complacency. And people that are driven and people that care, that rose themselves above everybody else, guess what? They don't like falling back down to where everybody else is. So you're always looking for something for you to commit yourself to. And you're not looking to commit yourself to something that's not going to pay for your time, energy, and your efforts. So if I've reached step three, guess what? We're not going to go back and live on step two. We're going to look to see what step four has to provide for me. And yes, I still fall victim to that. And I will still probably have to remind myself of that next year. I've said this year, I will recommit to working like no other for 5 years, hyper-focused, intense, sacrificial, like we once did, like we did for so long to get to a place of comfort, to create a whole nother level that I have not available to myself at this moment, right? And you do. You unfortunately seem to have to constantly do that. The second that you achieve, it's that growth mindset, right? The difference between the goal and the growth. If we live by our goals, when we achieve them, what do we do now?
Correct.
If you're not growing, you're dying, right? So it's not a good thing. But if we are growth oriented, then we're just looking for the next step.
And, you know, as you say that, it's so true, because we used to train for those mini marathons, right? We would train, you start, they've got one.
I mean, we ran a 5K in this. I mean, we're still, you act like we used to, like wherever people meet there.
13.1 is a lot different than a 5K. Let's just call it what it is. Any of the listeners that ran 13.1, it's totally different than
they a 5K. They know a lot of training's done on them 5Ks.
Well, anywho. So when I was thinking about that, that's why I would always, you know, we started in January because they have the, what is it? The Pegasus Marathon.
Derby Mini, yeah. Derby Mini.
Anyways, so you start in January when it's freezing and it's cold and we have snow here and it's not even December 6th yet. So snow, you're training, you know, you run at the middle of April. And once I was done with that, I was like, okay, what's next? I'm done with running. So it's that's the importance of the growth, right? Looking for the growth. And so always kind of having that target and set target that you're wanting to accomplish, right? Because once we were done running that, I was like done with running for a while.
Yeah. And I think I may have missaid it earlier. I don't remember that far back, but and that's what's most important, right? And that's what's next. And that is that not all change is growth. So, yes, we can implement change. But back to what you spoke to with our coach at halftime, if we're not evaluating the defense that's crushing our offense and we're changing to out-scheme what they're doing, then maybe that's not a positive change. So change is good, but not all change is growth. I think there I finally found it. And that is where our last question comes into play, right? If we are making change towards next year, what is it that we're changing? Mm-hmm. And what does it align with? What are those action steps going to take me to? What is the end result? And are those efforts, and have I said yes to what is most important to me? Or do I have too many what should be no's on my list that keep me from saying yes to my priorities? Mm-hmm. So number 9, or number 5 today, is what is most important. Right? Where are my priorities?
Correct. And show me your priorities. So, you know, it goes back to that book we read, Stephen Covey, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And this just sticks out to me. And I want to encourage, if you haven't listened to that book or read that book, read that book. It's very deep. But he talks in a section of the book about roles and goals. And this really helped me bring clarity to what it is that I myself needed clarity on, right? What is your role? You know, I'm a child of God. I am a mother. I am a wife. I'm a daughter. I'm a sister. Like, I'm a leader. What are all of your roles? And then next to it, you know, what is it? What are those action steps? So in order for me to, you know, a mother, like, hey, making sure that I'm spending an adequate amount of time with each child, which sounds silly, but when you see our schedule in the evening, a lot of times our son is with David because they're going to ball practice, and I'm with the other two because they're going to dance, right? And so making sure, like, hey, how am I going to make sure that I spend an adequate amount of time, like getting that one-on-one? So, hey, maybe we'll just run to the store together, my son and I, and just get some good conversation in the car or while you're walking around the store. It doesn't have to be anything big. You don't have to go out to dinner or movies. You can, but even just getting that good quality time to speak, that's, you know, that is what helps build those relationships and connections and making sure that, you know, ultimately staying connected. And so that is what really helped myself. That's been, I typically every year do that, line those out and make sure, like, hey, I fell short here. I really didn't get to spend a lot of time with this individual, because lining out what your roles are, because a lot of people have a lot of different roles, right? So making sure that you're making time for the people that are important to you or the priorities. If you say someone's important to you and then you're not spending time with them, then you're not really aligned.
Yeah, 100%. Man, you're getting so tactical. You're getting so detailed. You're getting so specific.
Were you not ready for it or what?
No, I'm just saying, are you realizing what it takes to get super effective? Huh? But I love it, right? Yeah, you cannot go wrong. You can live your life by Covey. Don't focus on anybody else and you'll be super highly effective. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. Roles and goals. We talk about the role of the business and you're going to talk about the priorities. What are the priorities in the business? We have four sub businesses that mean everything to us. And we have a new product line that we are developing from the ground up, right? Let's maintain communication connection to the people that matter and move everything for us. And let's drive this new product. This is number one for me. Okay. Within that product, what do I have to do to become effective? Got to implement this. I've got to implement that. I've got to allow them and equip them to be able to do this. What steps are we going to take to accomplish those goals? So you see how, again, you get tactical, you get specific, but it does start with the end in mind, and it is everything driven down from that. I want to be a child of God. I want to be a great mother. I want to be a great husband. I want to be a great business partner and leader, right? What goals do we have? Maybe I want to be a great golfer again this year. Maybe I'm, that's probably what I'm going to have to say no to again, by the way. I want to be a great golfer, but, it takes time. And unfortunately, that comes back to what it is our quote is about. Really successful people say no to almost everything, even if they love it, sometimes. So take those notes, take those five questions, ask yourself those, reflect on where you've been this year, where you want to go next year, get tactical with it. And then you got to check back in and see how you're doing.
And what is the pay now so you can pay or play later?
We busted that myth. We busted that. That's fake news.
I know.
But we do love that you're here listening to us. So like, subscribe, share, follow, find us. Our phone numbers, emails are everywhere. Thank you for being here.
David and Lindsay Curry are focused on high-performance coaching and sales and service. Reach out today at 502-314-2789 or visit hype.financial, that's HIPE.financial, to learn more. Thanks for listening to the Hype Leadership Podcast.
Before you trust someone with your money, it helps to know what to look for in a financial advisor, and knowing the difference can protect your wallet and portfolio. I'm Jim Tarabokia for the Retirement.Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife. If you're trying to get your financial life in order, maybe you're saving for retirement, planning for college funds, or just trying to make sense of investments, you might ask yourself, should I call in a professional to help? Enter the financial advisor, CNBC senior personal finance correspondent Sharon Epperson.
Well, a lot of people just need a little extra help when figuring out what to do with their money when they've had a major life change, and they want to have someone that has the experience.
Picking the right advisor is paramount to the success of your financial portfolio, but beware, not all advisors are created equal. According to a recent guide from personal finance editors, picking the right advisor begins first with clarity about your goals. Do you need help budgeting, investing, planning for retirement? Once you know what you need, it's time to vet the person behind the title. Look for real credentials. Make sure they are fully licensed and have the proper education and training to give you the kind of advice you need. Financial planners often offer a complimentary consultation, a no-pressure opportunity for individuals to get a sense of what true financial planning looks like. Investment advisor and Retirement.Radio network host Matt McClure explains further.
The advisor should be taking a deep dive into your financial situation, analyzing how much you're paying in fees right now, what kind of risk you're taking, making sure it's appropriate for you in your stage in life, making sure that you're just getting the most bang for your buck, and then analyzing where you are now and where you could go by working with them.
Within the time frame of your consultation, treat that first conversation like an interview. Take your time and speak with at least a couple of advisors before deciding. The first one you find, or the one with the nicest office, may not be the best fit. So before you sign up for their services, define what you need, ask the tough questions, and pick someone whose goals align with yours. Because when it comes to your money, it pays to ask. For the Retirement.Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife, I'm Jim Terabocchia.